From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jennifer Ludden. This next story is about one man whose conscience called him and how he answered that call in a way that's hard for most of us to imagine. If you'd been walking along Washington, D.C.'s Embassy Row on Friday, Earth Day, just by a giant statue of Gandhi, you'd have seen a small group of people surrounding a tall black man with a banjo. Dr. John Francis is visiting Washington. A handful of people who've heard of his exploits have turned out to meet him. A few passers-by stop to stare. But John Francis is used to being a curiosity, even an oddity. 3 decades ago, Francis stopped riding in cars, planes, or trains. For 22 years, he chose to walk or bike everywhere. For nearly as long, 17 years, he stopped talking. It was his personal protest, sparked by an environmental tragedy in 1971. Francis was 27 and living in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Two tankers actually collided near the Golden Gate Bridge, and 400,000 gallons of oil spilled. And it pretty much messed up the coast of California, the northern coast. And I looked at myself, I looked at this oil on the beach, and I said, I have some responsibility in this.
So one day, instead of driving, he walked 20 miles to a party. He started walking everywhere. Months later, Francis decided to stop speaking, just for a day. Then it was for a week. And then Francis decided he liked what was happening when he stayed silent. He was forced to listen to others. And over time, even his combative inner voice shut down.
And once that voice went away, I was left without any chatter in my head, because I never argued with anyone. So I never went through the, you know, I should have said this. Well, they said that, and then I said that. And I won that conversation because I said this. But next time, maybe I'm going to say that. And I would do that over and over and over.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like that's a normal thing that people do. But once you get out of the habit of having those kinds of interchanges, you might hear what the other person says, but your response is silence.
You did have, was it a girlfriend or wife?
I had a girlfriend.
Who took this very much in stride.
Yes.
Incredibly well, even though you would go off for days at a time, mm-hmm. alone. It sounds very selfish. I mean, not everyone would have the luxury to stop driving, let alone stop talking. They've got rent to pay.
That's right. It was very luxurious. And my girlfriend at the time, she owned the house. So we didn't have rent to pay. I still had bills to pay. And so what I did was do odd jobs like mow lawns and cut wood and work in the oyster farm. You know, I did things that you would do, but I just didn't get in cars.
Francis's father, on the other hand, did not take his vow of silence well. At one point, he flew out from Philadelphia and confronted John. Life is hard enough for a black man, he said. Why are you tying a stone around your neck? As we've been talking, we've been walking up busy Massachusetts Avenue toward John's cousin's house. John Francis cuts a striking figure, 6'2", in a white knit skullcap, jeans, and new-looking Timberlands. Those he's gotten for free ever since he contacted Timberland decades ago and explained his mission. Once, the company even invited him up to its headquarters in New Hampshire.
I was their shoe tester, and as we were going throughout the building, they're following me around going, oh, look, Frank, look, see, I told you that's where that was going to wear out. You see that counter right there? Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, Joe. And I, you know, they're literally like kind of taking the shoe off my foot as I'm walking by. And finally they said, you look, would you just give them a new pair of shoes so we can have these old ones?
John Francis is a big talker. One can hardly imagine him keeping his mouth shut for so many years. And by all accounts, it was difficult. A Los Angeles Times reporter wrote about Francis in 1986 and described him in a conversation with strangers at an Idaho lunch counter like this. He fluttered his hands and worked his facial muscles. A humming sound accompanied his pantomime. So eager was Francis to communicate that it seemed he was going to break into speech. After about 40 minutes walking, we come to the house of John's cousin, Dr. Ed Kirby, and his wife, Dorothy.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
The Kirbys have only come to know Francis well in recent years when he stayed with them for periods. Ed Kirby is 76. He doesn't claim to understand Francis's personal protest, but he doesn't judge him.
And at one of our family reunions, I heard about this guy, John Francis. They said he wasn't speaking in all this. I said, what kind of nut is this, you see?
Well, now I should say you are a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
So what did you make of him?
Well, you know, to each his own. But anyway, you know, thinking back, you know, people have to take stands sometime. I would not be that dramatic. I would work another way. But I think it was a standard call to attention. And during that time, he continued his studies, got his degrees, and then finally ended up with his doctor's degree. Now that's pretty good.
During his 17 years of silence, John Francis managed to earn a master's and a doctorate in land resources. He even defended his master's through pantomime and written notes. As he was finishing up his doctorate in 1990, Francis decided to mark his 44th birthday by speaking again. He gathered the family and a gaggle of reporters. Ed Kirby was there.
I thought he was bad practiced secretly because his speech came out too clear, but that was...
You thought he wasn't going to be able to speak again after 17
years. That's right, after so many years. But it was an exciting day.
But the story doesn't end there. Francis continued walking or biking, making his way around New England. One day, he got a call from the U.S. Coast Guard about a job.
Was a young woman at the Coast Guard said, you know, we've been reading an oil pollution literature, your name is being cited. Our supervisor, it's Norm Limley, said that we absolutely had to have you. And that, how can you get down here? And I said, well, I could ride a bicycle. And they said, well, good, how long would that take, riding a bicycle? And I said, well, I kind of figured this and that and going to see my parents and finishing up. I said, about 2 months. And said, well, we'll be waiting.
Today, Dr. John Francis looks back with deep gratitude for those who went out of their way to accommodate him. For years, he says his extreme lifestyle helped him make his point. But eventually, it started getting in the way. Today, Francis does use cars and planes, and as he nears age 60, he's settled down.
You have a child now.
I do.
4-year-old little boy?
Yeah, he is.
Does that change things, too?
It changes things, you know, and I have a wife, too. And that changes things, and, you know, we live in a house, and we have rent to pay and all those things. So it does change things. It changes how I do things and how I think about things and my priorities.
Got to have a soccer carpool now and then.
I do have to do that every now and then.
What would you do if he took as dramatic a step as you have done?
Well, probably I would say, yeah. You know, that's what I say now.
If your son said, I'm not going to speak anymore.
If my son said that, I would probably understand it a lot differently than if I said it to my father. I mean, I've done it, so I know what it is. But my father's like, that's something monks do.
But would you want your son to do that?
Well, I wouldn't want anyone to do it, except if that's what they're called to do. And if he were called to do it, then I would certainly want him to do it.
But it'd be hard on you.
It might be, but it might not. My 4-year-old boy shutting up for me. Dear Dad, I'm taking a vow of silence. Go right ahead, Sam.
John Francis is the author of the new book, Planet Walker, How to Change Your World One Step at a Time. And he's about to set off walking again across the United States. Thanks for letting us tag along a bit.
Thank you.
To read an excerpt from Planet Walker, go to our website, npr.org.